Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
If you have your Bibles, why don't you go ahead to the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture starting with verse 17 through verse 28, so bear with me. The Bible says, "Now Jesse said to his son David, 'Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit and see how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all of the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines.' Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up and set out, as Jesse had directed." Note, Jesse had directed. "He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brothers how they were. He was talking with the man," or did I miss that? "As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear." The next sermon I preach will be based on this one verse. "The giant said, 'David heard, and all of the men of Israel feared.'" That's a coming sermon. Verse 25. "Now the Israelites had been saying, 'Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel.'" Doesn't that sound just like someone we know? The enemy, Satan. "He keeps coming out. And he comes out to defy you. 'The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage.'" And that is all that David needed right there. "And will exempt his family from taxes in Israel." David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel?" I guess he needed to hear it again. "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." Let's pray. Father, we come before you as our God and our Savior. God, we know in whom we serve this morning. You are a mighty God. And Father, you are ready to speak your heart to your people. And so, Father, our hearts are ready, our minds are ready. We are ready for a word from the Father. And Father, I pray that each and every person that walked into Crossroads today, those viewing online, would hear your word, your heart today. It would touch, inspire, encourage, motivate, transform, convict, whatever it needs to do in the individual. Open up hearts, minds, ears, and eyes this morning. through the revelation of your word, God. We're ready. Anoint this word from beginning to end. Every word from the last word spoken. In your mighty name, amen. We're in the third week of the sermon series, Boldness. Everyone say boldness. Through this series, we're looking at some of the bold men and women of the Bible and their moments of boldness. From slaying giants, facing kings, standing for truth, to risking their lives. And believers, you will face moments such as these. And when you do, I pray that you respond in boldness, not in weakness, not in silence, no, in boldness, because you are bold, believers. Proverbs 28:1, the theme verse for this series, says that you have the boldness of a lion. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have the boldness of a lion. And while you might not always feel like a ferocious lion, you are filled with the boldness because you are filled with the Holy Spirit. The boldness dwells inside of you because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. Today we're going to continue looking at Dave, the bold giant slayer. Most of us know his story, right? Most of us know the outcome. David defeated the giant. Unfortunately, we're not going to get to the battle quite yet today. I know you're ready. You're ready to fight. You're ready to see the giant's head cut off, right? Come on, I'm speaking spiritual. You're ready to see that giant fall in defeat. But I am going to give you some profound wisdom and revelation that leads to the victory. In essence, will lead you to victory in many areas of your life. Church, David was destined to defeat Goliath. This was his purpose. He was anointed as king, but he was destined to face Goliath. Now let this hit home. He was created. He was called. And he was destined to face a giant. What was true of David is true of you. You are called, created, destined, equipped, and prepared to face giants, to climb mountains, to walk through valleys and storms, but not be defeated, no, walk out victorious, because you're a child of the living God. Come on, defeat isn't your future. Victory is your future. You're a child of the living God. See, God ordained this battle with David long before David was even born. For the glory of God, this battle was ordained. The title of my sermon today is Destined. Everyone say destined. You have a destiny, believer. Come on, if you don't know that and believe that, before you leave this place today, I pray that you come to the revelation that you have a destiny. Like David, you are called and destined for greatness, for the glory of God. See, the most important thing in all of our lives is to fulfill our calling and our destiny, which God has planned for us. Your giftings, your talents, your personality, your uniqueness, or for some of you, your weirdness, your experiences, your calling, the anointing that is on your life, all that makes you you is what it takes to fulfill your destiny. You are destined for greatness, not for your greatness, but for His greatness, for the glory of God. And I don't know if you grew up in a home that encouraged you to fulfill your God-given destiny or not. How many grew up in a home that where your father and your mother encouraged you to pursue and to fulfill your God-given destiny? Maybe you grew up in a home that questioned your worth, that belittled you, discouraged you, even doubted you had a purpose like David. See, David's oldest brother, Eliab, questioned him. He questioned his calling. He questioned his destiny. He questioned his purpose. He said, "What are you doing here, brother? Why did you come down here? FYI, brother, I am here because my father sent me here. And our father sent me here to check on you, bro, and to send you bring you a sub from Subway, right?" See, Jesse, David's father, sent David to check on his brother. But God, his heavenly father, sent him with a greater purpose, church. Teenagers, you might think that your parents just send you to school to get you out of the home, but no, you have a greater purpose. And the purpose is greater than you getting an edumacation. The greatest purpose is for you to be salt and light at your school. Adults, you might think you just go to work to put food on the table and to bring home the bacon, but no, you have a greater purpose. And the greatest purpose is to be a salt and light at your workplace, wherever you are. Or maybe you're a stay-at-home, homeschooling mom, and you doubt your purpose and your success because of your ungrateful child's adolescent attitude. Can I get an amen, moms? Maybe you think you're wasting your time teaching them everyday life skills, but no, moms, you have a greater purpose. You're teaching them lifelong, eternal skills that will impact their eternity. Can I get an amen? And can we thank our moms this morning? No, it's not Mother's Day. See, teenagers, you need to thank your moms more than just on Mother's Day, once a year, for all that they do daily for you, all that they sacrifice for your well-being, all that they provide. And remember, moms, your greatest purpose is your daily purpose. Parents, you might think you're just raising ordinary kids who will do ordinary things, but no, they have a greater purpose. Your kids are destined for greatness. You're raising extraordinary kids who will do extraordinary things for the glory of God. See, David was sent with a greater purpose, not just to check on his brothers, but ultimately to save his brothers and to save all of Israel. Let's go to verse 28. Now, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard what he said to the men. And Eliab's anger burned against David. And he said, "Why have you come down here? With whom did you leave these few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption, overconfidence, and the evil of your heart, for you have come down in order just to see the battle." See, Eliab questioned David's motive, when in reality, David was simply following his father's orders. See, believer, your motives will be questioned even when you simply follow in the father's orders. Eliab was trying to diminish David's calling, his purpose, and his destiny. Listen, it doesn't matter what others think or say, believer, but it does matter what you believe. Others might doubt your destiny, but their doubt doesn't determine your destiny. Can somebody shout hallelujah? I said their doubt doesn't determine your destiny. And if David continued to listen to his brother, because his brother was doubting his destiny, he was discouraging his destiny. And if David continued to listen to his brother, he might start thinking like his brother. He might start doubting his own destiny. Do you have an Eliab in your life? Come on, are you hanging around an Eliab, someone that doubts your destiny, someone that discourages your destiny? If so, you need to limit your circle, believer. If so, you need to limit your conversation with these people. You need to limit your conversation with doubters and discouragers. Don't let doubters and discouragers define your destiny. Only God can do that. I said, only God can do that. God defines your destiny. But listen to this, you decide your destiny. God defines it, but you decide it by faith. Point number one, God defines our destiny, but we decide our destiny. See, God defined David's destiny, and David decided to trust God. So in essence, our faith decides our destiny. Man, that was just so good. Gosh, I can live on that all week, brother. Your faith decides your destiny. Eliab even began to attack David's character. In the Living Bible, he said, "I know what a cocky brat you are." Sounds like an older brother, right? The Voice translation, it says, I'm your brother and I know you. You're arrogant and your heart is evil. And listen, church, it would be easy for David to allow the discouraging words of his brother to discourage him, to depress him, to doubt his calling, his purpose, to diminish his self-worth, to diminish the tour, the tail. I think I said all that wrong. Derail his destiny. But he didn't. It's easy to allow the discouraging words of others to sink down into our spirits and to diminish us, to diminish our self-worth, to diminish our calling, our purpose, and our destiny. Church, David didn't have an evil heart, although his brother said he did. Remember, David was chosen because of his heart, right? Not because he had an evil heart, but because he had a pure heart. He had a heart after God. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, and remember, Samuel is the prophet. Remember that? Samuel is the prophet. He said, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. And you need to know that God is talking about Eliab, the oldest, in this verse. Now we see why his brother is so angry, right? Now we see why he is resentful in his brother. For I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things people look at. Praise God, hallelujah. God doesn't look at the things people look at. He doesn't look at popularity. He doesn't look at your style. He doesn't look at what you wear. He doesn't even care about your hair this morning, Becky. Your hair looks wonderful. I just had to get somebody. He doesn't care what you wear, like people do. He doesn't care if you wear designer clothes. He doesn't care how you dress. He doesn't care if you even brushed your teeth this morning, but the people will. So please, fix your hair. He doesn't care if you wear a suit to church. Praise God. I used to serve in a position at a church where I could not be on the stage without a suit and tie. Nothing wrong with it. But praise God, I can wear my ripped jeans to church and be accepted. Because what does he look at? Your hearts. Come on, your heart. But your heart does determine a lot of the things that you do. Let that hit home. Your heart does determine some of the things that you say, things that you wear, the places you go, the people you hang out with, the things that you watch and entertain. Hearts, our hearts are very, very important, church. Only God knows the heart of the individual. We don't know what people's hearts hold. We don't know the intention of anyone's hearts, but God does. Samuel the prophet thought Eliab was the man because he looked like the man. And in verse 6, it says that Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the guy. Come on, husbands, how many of you took one look at your wife and knew she was the one? You better raise your hand or you're going to be sleeping on the couch. Just one look and you knew she was the one, but you probably didn't have the same thoughts as the prophet. Surely this is the Lord's anointed. You probably had a different thought. Right, guys? Just saying. I don't know if this is bromance or not, but I hope not. Church, Eliab looked the part. He talked the part. He dressed the part. He probably even acted the part, but he wasn't the man because he didn't have the right heart. See, even the prophet misjudged Eliab, also David. Looks can be deceiving. People can be deceiving. But God knows the heart of the individual. Praise God. When you're misjudged, Praise God, he knows your intention. He knows your heart. In Jeremiah 17:9, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and is extremely sick. Who can understand it fully and know its secret motives? Believers, we have to check our heart because God is constantly checking. See, our heart can dictate our destiny as well. A deceitful heart can delay, detour, even destroy your destiny. So get your heart right, believer, because your destiny depends on it. And Elab's heart wasn't right. He had a deceitful heart. And it was understandable in a sense because he was the firstborn son. He was the oldest son. And during that time, it meant a lot. The firstborn received the birthright. Remember the blessing. They were the favored child, but Elab was passed over. He was essentially rejected, and he had a heart issue because of it. He held bitterness, hatred, resentment, anger in his heart toward his brother. Church, this was a pride issue. In his mind, he thought he should have been chosen. Come on, think about it. This was a blow to his ego. He should have been anointed as king, not David. And if anyone was going to face the giant, it was going to be him because he was the oldest and he had the most military experience. See, his discouraging words to David came from his own discouragement. You know the saying, hurt people want to hurt people. Misery loves. Elab was dealing with insecurity and jealousy. So he attacked his brother who did nothing to deserve it. But remember, the greater the purpose, the greater the attack. And David was destined for greatness, y'all. Same applies to you. If you have a great purpose, you better be ready for great attacks. You better be ready for great giants, for great battles, for great mountains, for great storms. Because you have to walk through those great storms to get to your great destiny. But in the end, it's worth it. Don't reject your greatness by rejecting the storms and the battles that you face. The enemy was working through the brother to try and stop David from fulfilling his destiny. The enemy plays the same game today. He uses the same bag of tricks on you. You have to recognize it and reject the lies of the enemy. Reject the discouragement of the enemy. And remember that you are destined for greatness. Your destiny hangs in the balance. In the balance of the steps of faith that you take. Point number two. Your destiny isn't definite. Come on, somebody needs to write that down. Your destiny isn't definite. It's based on the steps of faith that you take. See, God leads us all toward our destiny, but we have to take the steps. He opens the door, but we have to walk through it. He provides the opportunity, but we have to take it. Proverbs 20:24, it says, it is the Lord who directs your life. For each step you take is ordained by God to bring you closer to your destiny. Praise God. Come on, highlight that verse. But as we all know, we don't all go where we're directed, do we? Come on, God is great at giving directions. We're just not so good at taking them. His word is filled with the directions that we should take. The instructions, the blueprint on how to build our life. And every step that we take. But we don't always take those steps. I try to give my kids good directions when I give them any kind of task so that they can complete the task. And so I try to give them step-by-step directions so that they can make it happen. But church, if they miss one step, the outcome is completely changed. They have to follow each step in order precisely, right? How many agree instructions and directions are very, very important? Come on, wives. I said wives. You have to write it down for them, right? This is Duncan Hines cookie kit. It's epic, y'all. See it? It's epic. How many have ever baked this or tried this or nobody? You need to because it's epic. These are the instructions. I'm just going to read a few of it. Number one, prep. Preheat the oven to 375. Grease large baking sheet with Pam. Stir together chocolate chip cookie mix, melted butter, egg, and water in a medium bowl until well blended. And on the side, it tells you exactly how much butter, one egg, and how much water. And how many know if you change that, it will change it from epic to a disaster? Thank you. If you miss one of these steps, it's got four steps. Prep, shape, bake, assemble. And then the fifth step, obviously, is to eat, right? But if you miss one of these steps, the outcome is completely different. It will not look like that. And a couple of months ago, actually, it was a couple of weeks ago, we bought this for the youth bake sale. And we supposedly followed all of these instructions and we added all of the right ingredients, but this is what we ended up baking. Something went way wrong. And while none of my family members will willingly admit that they missed an ingredient or a step, obviously they did. Right? I encouraged them to go ahead and bring it, put it back up. I encouraged them to go ahead and bring it and sell it because somebody would buy it. We live in Council Bluffs. Somebody would buy it, right? But they threw it away. Yesterday, I went and bought the same thing. And I said, let's do this together. And so we went step by step because they kept blaming it on the box. I promise, they were blaming it on the box. So I took them step by step, and this is what we came up with. Epic, right? Yeah. Obviously, somehow, somewhere, some way, a step or an ingredient was left out. How many have ever baked something and left out an ingredient or a step? Let me see your hands. See, I told them I would ask this question because I didn't say the name of the individual that actually did this. But look at the hands. Almost everyone in this place. Okay, how many have ever taken a wrong turn? Every single driver in the house. You're supposed to take a right, but you took a left. How many have ever taken a wrong spiritual turn? Come on. At times we miss the step, we forget the step, we deny the step, we reject the step, we refuse to take the step. See, the steps that we take determine if we get to our destination or not. The steps that we take determine if we bake epic cookies or not. It's following steps. It's so important, following the directions to the T, even when we don't want to, even when it doesn't make sense. Because a lot of the things in this Bible, the instructions, the directions that God gave doesn't make sense. But when we take them, they lead us to our destination, to epic destinations, to the place that we're called and destined to be in life. Notice I said it's the steps we take, not the steps we intended to take. Not the steps that we were directed to take, because we all know that we don't always go where we're directed. Can I get an amen? Amen. Especially from the teenagers. Oh, it got quiet. They know the truth. 1 Samuel 17:29. But David said, "What have I done now?" Was it not just a harmless question? Remember, he's speaking to his brother. Then David turned away from Elab to someone else and asked the same question, because when you don't get the right answer, turn to someone else. And the people gave him the same answer as the first time. Notice David's response to Elab. "What have I done, brother?" Growing up with three brothers, I know exactly how David felt. How many know how David felt? If you've got an older brother, you know. Being a husband, I definitely know how David felt. Just saying, how many husbands know? Don't raise your hands. You will be sleeping on the couch. But that's a joke. But having three teenagers in the home, I definitely know. Four? I'm almost there. Wow. What did I do? What did I say? Tell me, what did I do to set her off? See, I grew up with three brothers, no girls in the home except for my mom. And she wasn't teenage and she wasn't hormonal and emotional. So I don't know how teenage girls think. Just like that, I can set them off. Not purposely, just happens. Did I do something to embarrass you? Just tell me. You should know. I don't. Help me out. Help me help you. Let's just have a conversation. And then maybe the next time I won't embarrass you purposely. Or maybe I will. But church, David wasn't going to let his brother's discouraging words keep him from his destiny. Don't allow the discouraging words of others to keep you from your destiny. Notice what David did and did not do. David did not enter into a faith-draining, courage-zapping fight with his brother, as it would have been easy to do, to just snap on his brother. "You have pushed my last button, bro. Come on, you know what I'm talking about." It would have been so easy for David just to snap back. But remember, the Bible says to turn the other cheek. Everyone, turn your cheek. Come on, one way. So that I can smack the other side. It's the word, right? But church, Jesus isn't encouraging you to be a punching bag. He's not encouraging you to be a doormat. He's encouraging you to turn the other cheek, to deny, to defy, to reject. He's encouraging you not to fight every attack that comes against you, to not try to defend yourself against every false accusation. Don't waste your time fighting every attack, believer. If you make a battle out of every attack, you'll run out of energy. And you won't have the energy to fight the real fight. Do what David did. The Bible says he turned away. Let that hit home. He turned away. Oh, come on, church. He turned away from his brother's jealousy, anger, bitterness, resentment. He simply turned away. And sometimes we just need to simply turn away. We need to turn away from others who are discouraging us. We need to turn away from others who doubt us. We need to turn away from their resentment. We need to turn away from the attack instead of jumping back and snapping on someone and biting back. Turn away. So simple, so profound, but so hard to do. Read the fruit of the Spirit. What's the very last fruit of the Spirit? Self-control, which is so hard to control yourself, right? To control your mouth, to control your actions, to control your hands, to control your thoughts, to control your words is so hard to do. But it's not impossible. Because through Christ, we can do all things. Through the Holy Spirit, we can control our mind. We can control our thoughts. We can control our actions. Give him control. David turned away. Turn away from voices of doubt and discouragement. Turn away from doubters and discouragers. Because doubters and discouragers are trying to divert your destiny. Point number three, discouragement will divert your destiny. I said discouragement will divert your destiny because discouragement will defeat you. Discouragement will destroy you. Discouragement will delay you, will detour you, and will ultimately divert your destiny. Discouragement comes to us all in many different ways, many different forms, through circumstances to people. Amen? In an effort to try to divert your destiny. Divert is a synonym of turn away. Because if you don't turn away from doubters and discouragers, they will turn you away from your destiny. Turn away. It's simple, believer. Turn away. I've had to turn away from a few people throughout my life. How many's had to turn away from people? Even in the body of Christ, I've had to turn away from a few people. But listen, church, turning away from someone doesn't have to be forever. It can be temporary, depending on their change of heart. Take David, for example. David didn't turn away from his brother forever. Later on, Eliab acknowledged David's destiny, and he became an officer under David's kingship. Praise God, a change of heart. Eliab repented. He might have blew it the first time around, but his destiny wasn't hopeless. Maybe you're Eliab in the story. Maybe you're David. But the point is, your destiny isn't hopeless. No matter if you failed, no matter if you made a mistake, no matter if you were diverted, delayed, or detoured, you can arrive at your destination if you follow the directions. Come on. Every one of you said you've made a wrong turn. How did you get to the right place? Come on, brother. You turned around. It's that simple. Profound wisdom. Turn around and turn away from the things that divert you. Let's go to verse 33. I read this in week one and week two, and I want to read it again. Saul said, "Don't be ridiculous. How can a kid like you fight with a man like him? You're only a boy, and he has been in the army since he was a boy your age." In the world today, the opportunity to be discouraged is overwhelming. I mean, turn on the TV, I get discouraged. Open Facebook, I get discouraged. Walking through the mall, looking through the store window, I get discouraged. Right, Tim? There's so many opportunities. Driving down the road, I get discouraged. Because of the darkness and the sin that is running rampant in our culture and in our nation today. See, our culture and our nation not only celebrates, it parades and participates in dark, evil sin, and they call it pride, and they call it great. It can be discouraging as a believer to live in our culture in this hour of history. Church, David could have been discouraged. His father doubted him. His brother doubted him. Saul doubted him. The prophet doubted him. Everyone doubted David because he was just a boy with no destiny. Everyone doubted David, and he could have been discouraged, but he wasn't, church. He was determined. David denied the discouragement. He turned away. In fact, David defied the discouragement. His determination defeated his discouragement. Deny the discouragement. In fact, defy the discouragement. I said defy their discouraging words. But listen, I'm not encouraging defiance. I'm encouraging determination. Don't let defiance be your driving force, because that will lead to destruction. Let determination be your driving force, because that leads to the destination. Oh, come on. Point number four. Your determination affects your destination. Your determination will always affect your destination. David was determined, church, because he was destined. And you too can be determined because you are destined. You are destined for greatness. You just need a little determination. But at times you need a whole lot of determination to do what you're called to do, to simply get out of bed, to face the giants that you face, to climb the mountain, to go to work, to continue to put up with those kids. Verse 32, and I'm going to wrap this up. David told Saul, "No one should be discouraged because of this. I will go and fight the Philistine." David was determined, church. See, I believe David spent time in prayer in the presence of God on his knees before he said what he said in this verse. See, I believe David kneeled and prayed before he stood and said. I believe that David kneeled and prayed and spent time in the presence of God before he stood up and said, "I will defeat the giant." See, the only way that you can stand up and say, "I will defeat this giant, I will overcome this obstacle," is by kneeling and praying. In fact, don't ever stand and say until you've knelt and prayed. Point number five, before you stand and say, kneel and pray. See, before you stand and say, you should always kneel and pray. This is where that control comes. On your knees, in the presence of God, Holy Spirit begins to control. And then when you stand and say, what comes out of your mouth is filtered through Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit controls it. Holy Spirit will control what comes out of your mouth, believer. Holy Spirit will control what comes into your thoughts, what comes into your ears, and what you are allowed to remain in your thoughts. Holy Spirit will control the steps that you take if you'll kneel and pray. See, before I stand on this stage and say anything at all, I kneel and pray. And don't you thank God for that? In fact, before I sit and write out the sermon, I kneel and pray for the sermon. Because my purpose and my desire isn't just to deliver thoughts, my thoughts. I'm here to deliver the Father's heart to you. And how many have heard from the Father's heart this morning? If you have heard... So I believe David kneeled and prayed, and this is where he got the determination to face the giant. This is where he got the boldness to say, "Don't worry, don't be discouraged, let no one lose heart. I will defeat this giant." Even though the whole Israeli army were quaking in their boots, David, young David, teenage David, stood up with the boldness and the power of Holy Spirit and said, "Do not be discouraged. I will defeat this giant. No one has to worry. I can do it." And so, standing before the mountain that you're standing before today, facing the giant that you're facing, whether it's marital, whether it's financial, whether it's health-wise, a family situation, whatever it is, standing before that giant, that mountain, you can approach it with boldness and the determination of teenage David. Because the same God that dwelled in David dwells in you, Becky. The same God, Debbie, dwells in you. The same God, Terry. The same God. The same God. The same God dwells in you, Joseph. So no matter what it is that you face, no matter what it is that you're walking through, no matter what battle you're fighting today, you have the weapons to defeat the enemy that stands before you. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against you shall prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. You can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. So rise to your feet like David with faith, with determination, and say, I can defeat this giant. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. And so right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. I know some of you are facing marital battles. I know some of you that are facing financial battles. I know some of you that are facing a health battle that has gotten the best of you. You feel defeated. In fact, you woke up this morning defeated, discouraged, doubting to come to church. Why? He hasn't showed up yet. But oh, I got good news for you, believer. He said, never will I leave you or forsake you. And no matter what mountain you face, no matter what battle you're going through, I will walk with you through it. God is working in this situation, even when you can't see it. God is answering your prayer right now. He's heard you. He hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. With your head bowed and your eyes closed just for a moment, I want to do a little quick recap. You can either let discouragement direct you or determination direct you. But remember, discouragement diverts your destiny while determination directs, leads, and affects your destiny. You are called and destined. And it's God who defines your destiny, not people, not circumstances, not your doubt, not your discouragement, not your failures, not your mistakes, not your sin, but God and God alone. But this is the next step is your part. You decide your destiny. What will you decide? Will you decide to let the discouragement and the doubt divert you, delay you, detour you, and ultimately destroy you? Or will you let determination lead you in this hour? There's a verse that I want to close by reading. God said, I have raised you up for this very purpose. What purpose? Whatever it is that you're facing, not just the good, but the bad, the hard, the difficult. That I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. How many would say this verse was written with David's name on it? Well, it truly sounds like it, church. In actuality, it was written of Pharaoh. This is Exodus 9:16. God said, I have raised you up, Pharaoh. Come on, let this hit home. Pharaoh, who Moses faced and said, let my people go, who were holding the people of God in bondage, in slavery. God said, I have raised this man up for this purpose, that I might show my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. This verse could also apply to Goliath, the giant. But you know what? I think it better applies to David. And I think it applies to you and I. God has raised you up with a purpose. with a destiny so that he might show his power through you. You have a destiny. You are destined for greatness. But remember, the greater the destiny, the greater the attack. Father, I pray right now, God, that you would fill this place with the boldness of Holy Spirit. God, in each and every individual, that boldness would rise up from their hearts and their minds, and that they would be able to leave this place today knowing that they are destined for greatness, regardless of what's coming against them, that they're destined for victory, not defeat, with the future, not devastation. They're destined for a destination in you, for you, so that your power might be revealed, so that their mess might become their testimony, their misery might become their ministry. God, their pain would become their purpose. God, that their hurt would bring healing to so many. And so, Father, I pray right now, let your presence fill this place overwhelmingly. Let no one leave this place without feeling your presence and knowing that they were in the presence of the Almighty God. Do what only you can do in this moment. God, bring healing. Grant boldness, determination, faith, hope. Move mountains. Speak to hearts and lives. And we thank you for your word today. If there's anyone here today that says, Pastor, this sermon was for me. God knew exactly what I needed this morning, and he spoke it. Listen, don't allow the enemy to rob you of the word that God has spoken to you. When you walk out these doors, don't allow him to take the word that God has spoken to you. Reject the doubt, reject the discouragement, reject his lies, and hold fast. Hold on to the word and don't let it go. So thank you, Father. Is there anyone here that would say, Pastor, I need prayer before you close this service out? I got you, sisters. I got you. Anyone else? I got you in the balcony. I got you. I got you, ma'am, in the back. I got you. I got you. Why don't everyone either grab hands or touch your neighbor? Find someone right beside you. Just put your hand on them. Because there were many hands that were raised, and they were hands that weren't raised that need prayer this morning. And help me pray over that individual. Come on, pray for them and let them pray for you. Right now, Father, I pray right now that you would touch each and every person in this place. Those viewing online, God, those that raised their hand and said, I need prayer today, God. God, they need this word, this revelation to become real, to become reality in their life. God, let this not just be a word that was preached on a stage, but God, let it be their reality. Let them walk in this word, in this revelation. Let it become their reality, God. As they take a step of faith, they will see you show up and do what only you can do in your timing, your way. God, that they would sit back at some point and be amazed at the goodness of God. Like Job. God, like Isaac, like Abraham, like Moses, like Joseph, like Pastor Joseph. God, like Becky, like Tom, like Tim, like Alice, like Harry, like Kaylee, like Isaac, like Kylie, like Bella. God, we all have a story. We all have a testimony. Like Rachel, thank you, Father. Fill each and every person with a fresh boldness, fresh faith, hope for the hour. As we leave this place, God, let us do what you've called us to do the moment we walk out of these doors. In your mighty name, everyone says, amen, amen. God bless each and every one of you. We love you. We are praying for you. If there's anything that we can do to serve you, please let us know. God bless.